Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays here, Macroaggressions, taking you back to August 2022, episode 258, the most downloaded episode of Macroaggressions ever. Where did all the people go? Hey, if you're thinking of converting some of your soon-to-be worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible gold and silver, talk to our sponsors at Wise Wolf. Get in the Wolfpack Auto Buy Program. Go to www.macroaggressions.gold. Now enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a Swangled in Fort
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate your support. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you to our sponsors. We've got a new one, Solar Powered Lifestyle. I will tell you, they're fans of the show. We love that. It's a small business. It's veteran-owned, family-owned business focused on harnessing the power of the sun. What a great idea. Their mission, help others in their pursuit of happiness. If you are interested in getting a look at some solar panels, solar generation, they've got everything, actually. They've got solar panels, generators, solar kits, batteries, all the major brands. They've got EcoFlow, Jackery. Take a look. Just, I'll tell you what, go there if you're interested in, you're driving across country, like van lifestyle, or you're camping, or you need it for emergencies, or you need power on the job site, or you're worried about the grid being shut off. I mean, good Lord. I mean, we know that that's a possibility. Tell you what, you might want to have a backup plan. Kind of what we talk about on this show, being proactive instead of reactive. SolarPowerLifestyle.com is the place where you can go. They have free shipping on all the products. They have a 30-day price match guarantee. So if you find the same product somewhere else for cheaper, they'll match it, which is nice. When you spend $100, they'll give donate $10 to the charity of your choice. If you use the promo code MACRO, you'll save. You'll get a discount on that. So look, I'll tell you what, check it out. Read up about it. SolarPowerLifestyle.com. Promo code MACRO. Get yourself ready for what's coming on. And of course, our friends, C60 Purple Power, they are making the best batch of C60 out there. What is C60? Well, it's a naturally occurring carbon molecule with 60 carbon atoms. It looks like a hollow soccer ball. It is a free radical sponge. It travels through your body, fixing free radicals and resetting itself again and again and again. It is the most powerful antioxidant known. It's hundreds of times more powerful than anything out there. Which is, of course, the exact reason why you're not going to hear about it on your nightly news. You're not going to read about it in the journals. You're not going to read about it on Time Magazine or any place like that, because, you know, it actually works and does great things for you. So can't have that. It optimizes its mitochondrial function. It promotes a balanced immune response. It assists with mild memory loss associated with aging. So if there's someone that you know, maybe it's you, maybe it's someone in your family, maybe it's your mom, maybe it's your dad, who's getting a little older and having trouble remembering where they put the car keys, I'll tell you what, you be a nice kid. Send them some C60 Purple Power. Use the promo code MACRO on your way out to save yourself a little bit of money. Look, these statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease. Shop C60.com, promo code MACRO. All of these links are in the description so that you can, I don't know, get yourself sorted out. We're going to need it. And this is an episode I didn't want to do. And I'll be honest with you, I debated not doing it. I have been accused maybe isn't the right word. It has been brought to my attention that sometimes the topics in these monologues can get a little dark. It is a reasonable critique of the show. It's true. Hell, it's true. I admit it. Sometimes it gets a bit dark. I like to have fun with it as much as I can, but sometimes there are topics that no matter how you slice it, it's hard to make them fun. And I've had this thought for a while now, and it's dark, but I think maybe a lot of us have had this, and we're allowed to think about these things. Doesn't mean we're wishing them. It doesn't mean we want them to happen or manifesting them. I mean, maybe we are. I don't think we have the power to manifest this, what we're going to get into. But we've had Michael Halpern on the show, who, when he was at InfoWars, did a great piece with Alex and Rob about spars. We had him on the show. We've done spars episodes. We've talked about that. I've written 3 books, and in the first one, for sure, I don't know about the other two, but I mentioned Deagle, the Deagle chart. The Deagle chart came out in, I think it might have been 2013, it came out. It simulated, or it was a chart showing population of 2015 throughout the world, and then the population of 2025, and the changes in those populations in all the countries in the world. And in the Western world, the drop was staggering. 70% drop in population. In some place, in the UK, 77%. And nobody really got an explanation as to why. People thought, well, that's Deagle. That's fake. It's not fake. It's a real company. The military industrial complex company. They're the ones that do the analysis on where things are going to be in the world, how things are going to play out globally, how many helmets you're going to need to order, and how many, you know, these are logistics companies that calculate and try to give, say, the military or the governments of these countries the best idea that they can give them as to what to expect in the future and how to plan accordingly. So they're very much a real company. And the chart had been there living in peace and harmony on their website for many, many years. And it's only fake to the extent that people don't want to believe it. But the chart's real. The company's real. Is the outcome real? I don't know. I hope not. Because it paints a very disturbing picture. Now, if you see this chart in 2015 and it shows a drop of population of, you know, 77% in the UK, you go, what the did we get hit by a comet or something? What's going on? And you look and you go, well, if there's this much of a decrease in population in these countries, then surely there has to be a corresponding increase in these other countries to account for the sudden loss of population in the UK. Where'd they go? There isn't a corresponding increase in the surrounding countries. They don't go up. Some of them do. Very few of them. We'll get to that. I'm going to go into detail. I've got the chart. I broke it down in detail. You will not like what you hear. That's why I say part of me wanted to not do this show. But again, what are we going to do? Are we going to pretend like this stuff doesn't exist? Are we going to pretend we're going to just go with the wishful thinking. Oh, well, I hope that's not real. So therefore it's not real. And I'm not going to pay attention to it. I'm not saying to dwell on this. I'm not saying to like get yourself all freaked out. But we now have a very logical explanation for that drop in population. And you have to understand that Deagle sits in these meetings, right? These companies that are real connected, military industrial complex, deep state companies like this, they know what's going on before we know what's going on. This stuff isn't just randomly happening. It's made to happen. It's planned out well in advance. Now, that's not to say that just because they plan it, it means that every single component of that plan is going to come to fruition. It doesn't mean that at all. But if you don't have a plan, you become part of somebody else's plan, as they say, as Terrence McKenna said. And the governments of the world, Rockefellers, the non-governmental groups, they most definitely have a plan. So it is reasonable to believe that Deagle would know of the plan in advance of it happening. Now, when they were pressed on why their charts were showing such a massive drop, they gave two explanations for it: global pandemic and a financial crash. Lucky guess, right? On the global pandemic stuff. We still haven't seen the financial crash, but we know it's coming. I mean, it's been scheduled. So according to the SPARS document, everything comes true in 2027. Of course, according to the SPARS document, everything started much later, 2025-ish to 2027. So we can't really get too married to those dates. I can't say 2027 is the time when all of this will happen. It really doesn't so much matter what the date is. It matters the duration. All right. When did it start? It started here. And in their scenario, it started like the tail end of 2024 and then rolled out over 2027. So let's just say all of 3 years, 3.5 years. So we started that in 2020. So you could roll that out 3.5 years and see where things were going. The Deagle comes true in 2025. Okay. That's their end scenario when they mapped the population drop was 2025. So we're 3 years out from that. We're a year or so out from the SPARS ending, if we are to follow their script. And unfortunately, their script has been very, very correct so far. It's matched up with reality in a way that makes me feel very uncomfortable, down to some very minute details, like the fictional rapper in the scenario BZ and using the hashtag vaccines work. And then you come out and you see Run DMC's cartoon. You see Juvenile back that vax up shit, you know, hashtag vaccines work. And you go, okay, could be a coincidence. You know, I'm open to that. I'm reasonable. I'm not married to these. It could be an accident, right? It could just be a lucky guess. But there's so many other things that are following that SPARS document exactly the way it was laid out in the fictional scenario. It's playing out in real life. Enough of them that it's no longer coincidence theories. You now have to pay attention to it. So what we're going to do is we are going to look forward into the future. They have their scenarios. They plan their, they do lockstep, Crimson Contagion, SPARS, Event 201, Cyber Polygon. They do their simulations. We're going to do ours. We're going to see where things are in a couple of years. Extrapolate out from where we currently stand with what we're seeing with regard to the COVID vaccines, the death shots, the time bombs that are being injected into people. We're going to take a look at the statistics. I've got an Alex Jones level of documents on my desk right now. He would appreciate them. He would understand CDC stats. I want to get them right. I don't want to, you know, we're going to Speculation Island here. To be clear, we're going to Speculation Island. And also to be clear, I don't want any of this to happen. I don't want to be right. It would be the most unsatisfactory I told you so of all times. Okay. I don't want any of this to be right. But we're going to look at the numbers. We're going to look at what we currently see. We're going to look at what we have seen in the past. We're going to sort through the lies, and we're going to figure out what we might be, what we might experience in the next couple of years. Now, again, it's going to be scary, and I really don't want to scare people, but there's, once you hear this, there's just no way that there's no way to deliver this in a positive way. But again, we're going to be like a surgeon, right? We're just going to take the high level look. We're going to say, all right, let's not get caught up in the emotion of this. Let's be very clinical. Let's look at the numbers. Let's look at what we're being told. Let's look at the direction it's headed, and let's make some sort of observations based on this. Okay. Doesn't mean we want it to happen. Doesn't mean we're trying to scare people. It doesn't mean any of these things. That'll be a byproduct. You know, the fear will be a byproduct of what we've discovered here. But we got to get honest. The media is not doing it. They will not and cannot and have not and will never tell you what's actually going on. And I don't know what actually is going to happen in a couple of years, but I do have information, and I feel like I'm pretty good at researching, and I have a background, and I understand who these players are and what they want and what they don't want. And so we're going to get into it. I want to talk about, let's set some parameters here first, though, before we take a look at what happens. So in the SPARSD pandemic document, and you guys can go back if you haven't heard the episodes on that. I've done episodes, an interview with Mike Halpern, and then I did a different episode, a monologue episode that was just SPARSD related. I encourage you to read that. I encourage you to read the document. It's fucking fascinating. I mean, it was created in 2017. It was simulating an outbreak that happened in 2025 and lasted until 2027, tail end of 2024. But you know, we're going to look at how many people took the shots. We're going to look at how many people are hurt because of it. We're going to look at how many people are dead because of it. And we're going to look at how many people are going to be dead because of it. Let's first classify these into three categories: short-term, medium-term, and long-term problems with the shots. Short-term, that would be classified as 0 to 30 days. Okay. Blood clots, myocarditis, strokes, heart attacks, spontaneous abortions, pulmonary embolisms. That is what you can, not in every case, not in every person, not with every shot, but this is what you can expect to possibly happen in the first 30 days. Those are short-term problems. I think we would all agree those are problems. Medium-term, this is 1 month to 12 months. This is the first year. You've made it through the first 30 days. You didn't die from a stroke right away. You've made it through that. So you're safe, right? No, you're not. Because here in the medium term, the first year after the shots, here's what you may expect. Again, not every time, not every person, but this is what's happening. And this is documented. This is provable, and I'm not making this up. VAIDS, vaccine-acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Vaccine AIDS tells your body to fight itself. ADE, antibody-dependent enhancement. We've heard Dr. Robert Malone talk about that. We had him on our Union of the Unwanted show. He explained that he is the inventor of, he was part of the team that invented the mRNA technology, not just for vaccines, but for other things as well. And he quite rightly pointed out that his big problem was that when you turn the mRNA technology on and tell it to start making spike proteins, the problem is you cannot turn it off. It just continues to make them. That is why you get ADE. That is why you get VAIDS. Also in this medium term, 1 to 12 months, we have autoimmune reactions, we have heart failure, we have prion-like neurological destruction. That's in the first year. Third category is long term. This is after the first year. So this is from the end of year one to year 10. 10 years. Okay. Again, let me be clear. We have not gone 10 years since this shot has been rolled out. But the people that are looking at this are telling you right now, this is what's coming. based on their scientific background. I am not a scientist. I am not a doctor. I don't pretend to be one. Okay. I have to outsource some of this to those that know it. So I look for the doctors that know this best. We've had them on our shows in the past. They're the ones I trust. They're the ones that are not being muzzled by the media. Long-term problems associated with the vaccine include spike protein-induced chromosomal damage, cancers, infertility, severe immunodeficiencies, suppressed DNA repair, and fatal autoimmune disorders. Okay. We're going to get into some statistics here. There's going to be a lot of numbers. I'm going to do my best to explain this. According to the CDC's website as of August 10th, 2022, we are talking about the American, I mean, this is going to be American, America-specific in some areas, and I'll make sure to differentiate that. So what we're going to look at here, because I can get the numbers from the CDC because they're public, I don't know what's going on with the Australia numbers, and I don't know what's going on in the UK or Spain or wherever, but I have the American numbers. So we're going to use these, and then if you're in a country outside of America, then you just understand this is what's happening in America, and then you can, it stands to reason it may be happening in your country as well. So American COVID-19 vaccination rates, at least one dose. How many people have taken at least one dose? Now, this is according to the CDC, and it may, these numbers may be a little bit inflated, okay? Because I'm not positive how they're getting their numbers. One dose. 261,981,618 people have taken at least one dose in America. That works out to 78.9% of the population has taken at least one shot. Now, Dr. Robert Malone says that once you inject yourself with mRNA technology, you can't turn it off. In his mind, one shot, 10 shots, doesn't matter. We're not going to go off of that. I'll explain the criteria we're going to use for this simulation. Two doses. Those in America that have taken at least two doses. Number's still pretty high. Alarmingly high. 223,457,170 people have taken two doses. Now, in America, that gets you a designation of, quote, fully vaccinated. Okay, that is what is fully vaccinated. Fully vaccinated is characterized as having taken two shots. We know there's two more. We know there's two more boosters. But when they say that you are fully vaccinated, that's the threshold they're using. So how many people in America are fully vaccinated with two shots? 67.3%. So roughly two-thirds. Two out of every three people you interact with have taken two shots. How many people in America have taken those two shots plus one booster? That number is, it drops, but it's still massive. 107,872,738. That works out to 48.3% of the people that have taken two shots went ahead and got the third shot. So a little bit under half of those people. You've got 223 million that went ahead and took two shots. And then of those 223 million, just about half of them said no thank you to a third or fourth shot. And the other half said, yes, please. Okay. Two boosters. Now, in America, two boosters they're only being given to people 50 and older. In that category, people who have taken two shots and two boosters, four shots total, like Biden and all these people who may not have taken a shot at all, but that number is 21,064,657. They get very specific with the numbers. So 21, and now we're working off of a baseline population in America of 330 million people. So of 330 million people, 21 million have taken two shots. 107 million have taken two shots plus two boosters. 107 million have taken two shots plus one booster. So we're going to break this down by age range, and you're going to see, this is going to paint a picture that is very dark. unfortunately. 65 and older community inside America. Fully vaxxed, meaning two shots, 91.9%. They went after the old people hard. No offense if you're over 65. You are technically old. First booster for that age group, 64.8%. Second booster, 25.8%. So of all the people in the 65 plus age range in America, and that amount, that grouping, there's almost 55 million of them. Of those 55 million older people in America, 65 plus, 92% took two shots. Just about two thirds of them took two shots plus a booster, and a quarter of them took two shots and two boosters. Okay. The reason why I'm pausing for this is because if you've taken two shots and two boosters, you're done. You're dead in this scenario. It just hasn't happened yet. And that's why I say this episode is really dark. And again, I don't want any of this to happen. I got people in this category. You have people in this category. But we're not going to get anywhere if we just pretend like, oh, everything will work itself out. Everything's going to be fine. No, it's not going to be fine. They have injected people with a time bomb, a poison that is killing people at an alarming rate. But it doesn't just get you right off the bat, because like I mentioned, short term, medium term, long term. That long term goes out 10 years. Okay. You're going to develop a host of problems. But if this is the case, and I'm saying that, let me explain. This is the supposition I'm working off of. And it's being generous, but this is what I'm working off of. When I said Robert Malone says one shot, 10, it doesn't matter. If you've got this in you, you're in trouble. I'm not going to go that route. I'm going to give everybody the benefit of the doubt on this in order to make this less horrible. I am going to make the assumption, and it is my assumption, that if you took the two shots, meaning you're fully vaccinated, that those two shots will make you sick, but won't kill you in large numbers. That is my assumption, and it may be totally incorrect. I am worried, and I am working off of the assumption that it's the boosters that do you in. And I'm not coming to this conclusion for no reason. When you do the first and second shots, it just destroys your immune system. And then the boosters come in and finish the job. So what I'm going to say is that if you take the first two shots, you'll live. Okay? I'm going to make that assumption. Your quality of life may be garbage. You may be unable to function, but you're not going to die. Or at least not in large numbers. But in this category of 65 and older in America, the number of people that have taken a first and second booster adds up to 35 million people took. Oh man, it's fucking dead. We're talking about like human beings, you know what I mean? And it gets back to that like Stalin quote, like one death is a tragedy, a million deaths is a statistic. But we're talking about 35 million people dying, 65 and older, that have taken at least one of these booster shots. Out of a total of 54 million. So you're talking about like two thirds of the people are gone. Next age range, 50 to 64. Fully vaxxed, 82%. First booster, 45% of those took it. Second booster, another 11%. We're talking about in this age range from 50 to 64, people that have taken at least one booster, another 29 million people. Age range from 18 to 49, fully vaxxed, 69%. First booster, 27.3%. That works out to 38.1 million more people that have taken the booster in the 18 to 49 age range. This one's going to make you mad. Ages 12 to 17, fully vaccinated, meaning two shots, 60.2% of children have been given two shots. That works out to 15.2 million American children have been injected twice for COVID-19, a virus, allegedly, with a 99.98% survivability rate and a median death age of 80. They have injected 15 million kids ages 12 to 17. They have given a first booster shot to 4.25 million of those kids. And last but not least, the age range from 5 to 11, which my daughter falls in this age range. Fully vaccinated, meaning two shots, 8.7 million little kids have been injected with this. And 1,030,000 have been injected with a booster. I'm going to add these numbers up. People that have had at least one booster in America. We've got 1 million plus 4.25 minutes, 5.25. We've got another 38. That's 43 million. We've got another 30 million. That's 73 million. We've got 35 million in there. We're at, 110? About 110 million people in America have taken at least one booster. And Robert Malone says that if you take one shot, it'll kill you. These people have taken three. Number of people fully vaccinated in the United States of America by vaccine type. Pfizer BioNTech two dose is the most popular. 128,558,022 people have taken it. Moderna following up at 77 million. And change. Johnson & Johnson, another 17 million. Number of people with first booster in the United States by vaccine type. Again, Pfizer, BioNTech, they've injected 60,597,054 people. Moderna, 45 million. All right, so now we're at 690. Johnson & Johnson / Janssen, 1.5 million, another 43,000 from some obscure brand. So here we are again, 60 plus 45 plus a million. We're just a little bit under 110 million people that have taken at least one booster. People with the second booster, these people are goners. I'm sorry. The science shows this. I don't want it. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. We've got 11,685,804 people have taken the second Pfizer booster. Another 10.5 million Moderna, another 19,000 J&J. So here we are. We're at 22 million people in America have taken two shots plus two boosters. They got talked into it by the media and the politicians and their jobs and all this stuff. The Bureau of Prisons has administered 329,773 doses to prisoners. Those prisoners do not have a choice. The Department of Defense has administered 8,814,331 doses to their people. Indian Health Services. Haven't we fucked those people enough? 2,340,381 doses. Veterans Health, the VA, has injected 7,723,786 doses to veterans. Thank you for your service. Now go die so we don't have to pay you your retirement benefits. As of August 10th, 2021, so these are old stats as of right now. These are like a full year old. But this is the percentage. I wanted to show this for people that are living in America, and we have 50 states here. They actually went ahead and used the District of Columbia, so this is going to be out of 51. Just to give you an idea of what states are the most heavily vaccinated and which states are the least. So topping the charts is Rhode Island at 84.5% of the people in Rhode Island are vaccinated. You're going to notice a theme here right off the bat. If you know American geography, these are all states that are in the northeast part of the country. Rhode Island at 84.5, Vermont at 82.6, Maine at 81%. Massachusetts at 80.6%, Connecticut at 80.6%. All right. So the top five are all in that northeast territory. What's the common denominator there? Well, there's a couple things. First, geography. Second, it gets cold in the winter, colder in the winter than maybe elsewhere in the country, not including Alaska, of course. It is heavily Democratic. Heavily Democratic. And that matters. As the map shows, your political leanings mattered with regard to how you viewed the vaccine and how you viewed COVID. Number six on the list is Hawaii at 79.6%. Number seven is New York at 78.3%. Number eight is DC at 78.1%. Then you go to Maryland at 77%, New Jersey at 77%, Virginia at 74%, Washington, state of Washington, 73%. California, 13th on the list, 73.3% of people are fully vaccinated with two shots. That works out to 29 million people just in California alone. New Mexico, 72.5%. I remember New Mexico being unusually authoritarian when it came to like masks and all this shit. New Hampshire is number 15 on the list at 72. And sad to say that my current state, Colorado, is 16th on the list at 71.4. Would you like to know who's at the bottom of the list? Let's do the last couple. Number 44, and we're going out of 51 because they included Washington, D.C. in here. Number 44, Georgia. There's also a geography component to this as well. Georgia, 55.7%. Arkansas, 55.4%. Tennessee, 55.3%. Idaho, that breaks the geography here, 55%. 48th on the list, Louisiana is at 54.2% vaccinated. Mississippi's at 52. Alabama's at 52. And Wyoming is at the bottom at 51.7%. So even the lowest vaccinated state still was above 50%. That is alarming, but not surprising because they hit it hard. The media was in, was going full bore on this. Let's look at worldwide vaccination percentages. Now, the reason why this matters is because all of this is going to play into the tail end of this episode where we run through some of the simulations. We run through the scenarios of what this is going to look like. So the first part of this is talking about the stats, the numbers. I want you to know there's going to be a lot of numbers on this one. So I want you to kind of know what countries are doing this. I want you to know what states are doing it. I want you to know as much as I can about the numbers behind it. Then we're going to get into, in the tail half of this episode, we're going to get into what they mean, what this could mean moving forward. So I apologize in advance for all of the numbers, and I don't want this to ever sound like a math test or anything like that. But look, I think it's important that we know what we're up against, and knowing how the uptake of this, of these shots have been, is extremely important. So let's look at worldwide vaccination rates here. Fully vaxxed, again, meaning two shots. China, top of the list. 89.7% of their population is fully vaxxed with two shots, which means 3.438 billion doses have been administered in China. I'm going to say that again. 3.43 billion doses of the vaccine have been administered in China. Two shots. You want to know something interesting? You want to know what the percentages of people in China that have taken the booster? Zero. That's going to matter. We'll come back to that. On this list, and this is not, I'm not going to go necessarily in any particular order, except that I just think that it's interesting. India's on this list at 68% fully vaccinated. That means, again, 2.08 billion shots have been administered just in India. And if you're thinking, boy, you've done some episodes on depopulation, they mentioned India in there. Yes, they did. We'll get to that. The European Union, the EU, 73.6% fully vaccinated, meaning two shots. That works out to 904 million doses have been administered in the EU. What is their booster dose rate? Like how many of that percentage, like who's taken the booster? 55.8% of people in the EU have not just taken two shots, But of the people that have taken two shots, another 55% have taken a third or more. United States, fully vaxxed, two shots, 66.7%. Man, that's just as close as you can get to two-thirds. 180 doses have been administered per every 100 people in America. Just to put that in perspective. So you're averaging just about, you know, 1.8 shots per person. Of those people, the percentage that have gone back for boosters, 32% in America. Brazil, 80.8% fully vaccinated, 54% boosted. Indonesia, 63% vaccinated. Remember, that's the largest Muslim population on the planet. You know, it's not the Middle East, it's Indonesia. 63% fully vaccinated, 21.4% to be precise, boosted. Japan. The rich history of Japan, unfortunately, will end after this generation. 81.5% fully vaccinated, 78.1% boosted. 78%. Hey, for better or for worse, Japanese culture, which I find amazing and really fascinating, they're a go along to get along. You know, they do what they're told, and they respect, you know, they show respect by doing what they're told. That will come back to bite them. Bangladesh, 73.3% fully vaccinated, 24.7% boosted. That's on the list too. So is Pakistan. Pakistan, 62.4% vaccinated, 18.1% boosted. Vietnam. America tried to get you in the 60s and 70s. It took a while. But the psychopaths at Big Pharma, they got you now. You're done, Vietnam. 83.2% fully vaccinated, 65.3% boosted. Roughly two-thirds. Mexico. God. 62.6 fully vaccinated, 44.4% boosted. You know, Germany, you guys, you fucked up with Russia, with the you know, doing what NATO told you. You're going to get your heat turned off. You're going to get your gas turned off this winter. That's the least of your worries. 76.2% fully vaccinated, 70.2% boosted. This goes on and on. Russia, 51% vaccinated, 11% boosted. Philippines, 66% vaccinated, 14% boosted. Iran, 69% vaccinated, 33% boosted. Turkey, 63%, 48% boosted. The United Kingdom, 65.4% fully vaccinated, 51.6% boosted. France, 81.4% fully vaccinated, 65.2% boosted. Last on this list, Thailand, 76.3% fully vaccinated, 44.8% fully boosted. The lowest, you've heard the highest. Interested in the lowest rate of vaccination? Sudan, Congo, Kenya, Madagascar, Iraq, Afghanistan, Papua New Guinea, and Yemen. Keep those names in mind. We're going to come back to them in a minute. 12.4 billion shots have been given worldwide. 12.4 billion, with a B, shots have been given worldwide. 606 million shots in the United States alone, 606 million. And within the United States, 79 million vaccination shots for COVID-19 have been given just in California. Now, let's break this down. This is according to Forbes. I thought it was interesting to dig into, I went looking for this. I wanted to see the industries that had the highest vaccination rates. Now, we know that there was a push to get people vaccinated early on, you know, there were corporations that were saying, well, you have to do it. And then Biden said, well, we'll have OSHA, Occupation Safety Hazard Administration, say, well, we'll have OSHA do it and be the bad guys for us and say that any company above 100 people has to get vaccinated in order to qualify, what, all that stuff. So there was a lot of forcing going on. So the industries with the highest vaccination rates, now they didn't mention whether this was by their own free will or if they were coerced into it, but just by rate, here's where we go. Starting at the top, financial services, 78%. Insurance, 76%. Business professional services, 74%. These are people that have taken two shots. Leisure, hospitality, 71%. Real estate, 71%. Healthcare, 70%. Entertainment and media, 67%. Now, here's the lowest rates. The people that either didn't need to take the shot, weren't able to be forced into it, or just didn't want it. Lowest rates, agricultural workers, 49%. Construction, 55%. Food and beverage, 61%. Retail, 64%. Manufacturing, 64%. Transportation, 64%. And surprisingly, military, 62%. All right. Let's get to the Deagle chart. I wrote this Deagle chart out by hand. I do all my notes by hand. I don't know. I guess I'm old school. Old. This was sort of a kind of an update, a little bit updated on the Deagle chart, because when the Deagle chart came out, it showed populations from 2015 to 2025. 2015 was where they were a couple years before that when they made the chart. So they said at 2015, we're here. These numbers, a little skewed. They say population now in 2017. So it's just 2 years past that. It's before any of the depopulation numbers factor in. I just wanted to make sure I was clear about that in case someone goes back and says, well, you said that it was from the Deagle chart. The Deagle chart says 2015. Yes, there's been an amended version that gave the population as of 2017 so that you could measure this as well. And again, I've given you the background on what the Deagle company is, what they do, and why it matters. So we need to pay attention. So let me go through this. And again, you're not going to want to hear it. And you have to just understand that they know something we don't know. They're paid to know something we don't know. And again, I hope they're wrong. Population, the UK, 2017. I'm going to do some rounding up. Okay. 63.4 million in the UK, 2017. Population in 2025, 14,517,860. A percentage change of -77.1%. In the United Kingdom, in 2025, 7 out of every 9 people will be dead, according to Deagle. I don't even know how to comprehend that. So I'm going to take the emotion out of it. I'm just going to read it, okay? I'm just going to talk about it, even though this stuff makes me want to throw up. United States of America. Population 2017, 316.4 million. Population in 2025, 99,553,100, a reduction in population of 68.5%. Germany, 80.6 million in 2017, 28,134,920, a change of 65.1%. Israel, 7.7 million in 2017, 3,982,480, a change of 48.3%. France, 67.1 million in 2017, 39,114,580, a reduction of 41.7% of the people living in France. Spain, 47.4 million in 2017, 27.7 million in 2025. That is a reduction of 41.4%. Australia. This show is big in Australia. I love the Australians. Don't love your government. Love the people. 23.2 million people in 2017. 23 million. In 2025, that number drops to 15,196,600. That is a reduction of 34.6%. In Italy, it goes from 61.48 million down to 43.7 million. That's a reduction of 28%. Canada, you go from 35.6 million to 26.3 million. That's a reduction of 26.1%. Norway, 5,080,000 people in 2017, down to 3.8 million, a reduction of 24%. Lithuania, this show is big in Lithuania. Shout out to everyone in Vilnius listening. 3.5 million in 2017, 2.7 million in 2025. That's a reduction of 22%. And last but not least, God damn it. Ireland. In 2017, the population of Ireland is 4,770,000 people. In 2025, that drops to 1,318,740 people. A drop in population in Ireland of 72.4%. How do you even wrap your head around that? Right? Again, we're doing our simulation. We're using their numbers, CDC numbers here, Deagle numbers. Hope they're all wrong. Right? I do. Remember when I told you to keep an eye on those vaccination rates that were really low in those countries? Remember the countries I mentioned? Those countries that I mentioned were Sudan, Congo, Kenya, Madagascar, Iraq, Afghanistan, Papua New Guinea, Yemen. Well, the Deagle forecast wasn't low everywhere. There were some places where population increased, according to their chart. Papua New Guinea, 2017, 6.43 million. 2025, 7,571,120, an increase of 17.7%. of the population. Yemen, 25,340,000 people in 2017. That number jumps to 27,486,640, an increase of 8.5%. Sudan, 34,850,000 people in 2017, 40,691,900. In 2025, an increase of 16.8%. Congo, 4.57 million in 2017, 5.33 million in 2025, an increase of 16.6%. Kenya, 44,040,000 in 2017, 50,320,160 in 2025, an increase of 14.3%. Iraq, 31.8 million in 2017, 33.75 million in 2025, an increase of 5.9%. And lastly, Madagascar, 22.59 million in 2017, an increase to 24.84 million in 2025. A 10% increase. Now, I know what I'm seeing. Are you seeing it too? Because I'm looking at the numbers that show the vaccination rates where they're the lowest. Sudan, Congo, Kenya, Madagascar, Iraq, Afghanistan, Papua New Guinea, Yemen. Lowest vaccination rates in the world. I look at the Deagle chart. Everybody's losing population. Except a couple places. Papua New Guinea, Yemen, Sudan, Congo, Kenya, Iraq, Madagascar. I just ask you to pay attention. That's all. Let's transition into the second half of this. This is where we allow ourselves to go to Speculation Island, right? This is part of our simulation. This is our event 201. Ideally, this would work better if it was more than just me. If I had a 5 or 6 people here and we were all talking about this. And you know what? In the future, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll assemble a group that I think has specialties in certain areas and we'll run this simulation and we'll talk about this. But because it's just me doing this, I want to talk about and extrapolate out, what does this mean? We get to 2025 in Deagle's chart. 7 out of 9 people in the UK are gone. 70% of the people in America, roughly 2/3 of the people in America are gone. Germany, 2/3 gone. Israel, just about half. 40% in Spain, 40% in France, 34% in Australia, just about 30% in Italy, 25% in Canada, Norway, 72% in Ireland. Now what? What does that look like? I don't want it to be that way, but what is it going to look like? So I broke it down into 3 sections: economic, social, and strategic. Okay. This is not to say that there aren't others, and the things that I have on my list is in no way meant to be a full list of where we're going to go. This is just what I'm working out on a high level. Let's take a look down at this. The ramifications of a catastrophe like this will be, frankly, such massive changes to civilization that it is almost impossible to imagine it. It really is. And again, I this is where I'm trying to say, I'm not trying to scare people. It's just that this is scary. The uncertainty of it, the feelings of how, you know, all these people were here and now they're gone. Where are they? Where are all the people? All right. So let's look at this economically. Okay. And again, we're taking the emotion out as best we can. We're just going to look at this like the way a doctor or somebody performing an autopsy doesn't get all involved in this was a person that was alive and having their, you know, had kids and all this stuff. I'm going to just be as clinical as I can going through this. I have to be, it's too much. So let's look at it economically. Okay. What happens? You wake up and it's gradual. Of course, you know, people start dropping off and then they start dropping off in larger numbers. And then it becomes undeniable that there's a massive die-off here. Let's talk about it from an economic standpoint. Deflation. Decrease in the general price level of goods and services. In real estate, there will be deflation because there's no demand for houses anymore because the people that would demand those houses aren't there. No demand for new homes. New home construction, which is the world I came out of. I worked in new home sales for a decade. Those industries are gone. You'll never need to build a new house for a long time. So home construction stops. You fall into a deflationary death spiral in real estate where it's hard to value anything. You don't even know what things are worth anymore. You know, everyone would say, well, you know, it's worth a lot. Yeah, I pay a lot to live in New York City and it's expensive and rent's expensive and buying a place is expensive, but I'm where I need to be and prices are, you know, I get paid more because I'm there and yeah, everything's more expensive, but this is the epicenter. Well, take that out of the equation because New York City's done. There's no reason to be in there anymore. What does that do to real estate? Just a catastrophe, right? But it won't necessarily be deflationary for everybody. You will see an inflation in the price of goods and services because they're going to be harder to get. Supplies in the future will be severely limited. What we're used to here, this day-to-day just-in-time delivery service, our supply chain issues, you're going to have to imagine a world without them for a very long time. Dollar chaos. Nobody knows what's safe. US dollar, garbage. Weimar Republic type wheelbarrows filled with cash, totally worthless. Gold and silver explode in price because they know that there's at least some value. And you also know that it's going to take a while before that gold and silver, additional gold and silver, is pulled out of the earth because there are just frankly not enough people working the gold mines or the silver mines. And those people that would have been working there, if they're not dead already, they're being positioned into other industries where it's all hands on deck. We need you working. We need you to transition from being a guy that is mining, working the cranes at a gold mining facility. we need you to be a mechanic now. You're needed somewhere else. We're not mining gold. We don't need that now. Supplies of gold and silver go through the roof. They're viewed over history as being having tangible value because of that. Everybody knows their reputation. From an accounting standpoint, there's not a, if you're an asset holding that asset, there's not a liability on the other side. It's a great form of wealth retention. It gets shit on when you're in a Federal Reserve central bank system where they try to suppress that because they don't want you to think about that. But again, when you've lost 70% of the population, Federal Reserve's not in charge anymore. It's fucking chaos. Okay. Tax base is wiped out. No income tax. Nobody will pay it. You're not going to pay the government income tax after what they've done to you. Are you kidding me? No property taxes. Nobody left to pay it. Nobody's going to pay that anyway. Sales taxes will fall because there will be fewer sales. Local taxes will fall because there will be fewer people. Airline industry folds. No skilled labor. No pilots. They all were forced to take the shot. They're all dead if they took the boosters in this scenario. Air traffic controllers forced to take the shots. They're done. No mechanics. This isn't some guy working on your brakes down the street. This airline mechanics, very specialized. We all become Cuba. New cars? No. We're working on existing cars. The supply chain breaks down due to lack of labor. But demand will be down across the board anyway. That big screen TV from China, forget about it. But again, since I mentioned China, remember what I said about the booster shots? 0% there. They didn't take them. So in this scenario, if we're talking about boosters that are doing it as being the real trigger that gets everybody, China will be massively injected with two vaccines, but not with the booster. Be interesting to see how that plays out. The green agenda that we're mocking, the Build Back Better agenda, all that stuff, that, you know, we're all going to drive electric cars and we're all going to, you know, eat the bugs and all, it's over. I mean, at least the green component of that is over. Bankruptcies everywhere. How do you unwind this? What are you going to do? You're going to sue some guy who's dead from the vaccine? You're going to see that guy owed me money. That guy was supposed to fulfill his end of the bargain on this business transaction that we had. The company's gone, man. All the people died in there. There's no company. I'm going to sue you. Good luck. Good luck with the court system. It's totally clogged up. Stock market collapse, 401ks, retirements, worthless. All the companies that were staffed, all the left-leaning woke companies, Disney, Twitter, Google, all these people that are in California that went super hard on the vaccines and the shot. I got my 18th booster. Look at me. I'm so proud. Blah, 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 blah. Goners. That industry collapses. San Francisco, fucking ghost town. Most injected, most boosted city in the world. Medical establishment collapses due to a lack of trust. Now, in the SPARS pandemic document, there's a segment at the end where the people figure it out. Too many people get sponge brain, mad cow disease, and prions, and start turning up dead, and the general public figures it out and they revolt. In the SPARS document, they revolt. In reality, in this scenario that we're talking about, same thing would happen. Society would break down. The trust in the medical industry would evaporate after this. No trust in doctors, if there are any. Are there any left? You know, the enthusiastic ones that were like, this is the greatest thing, this will save you, got to take the shots, got to take the boosters and everything. In this scenario, those people are gone. Social Security goes away. By design, I might add. They were never planning to pay out Social Security. It was always a Ponzi scheme. They knew it. And people are like, well, there's only 13 years left, you know, before Social Security is insolvent and they'll never be able to pay everyone. They're like, we've got it taken care of. Don't worry. Again, they plan these things. You think they don't know that? They know it. They know they were never planning to pay it. And the people figure it out eventually too. I think interestingly, crypto, especially Bitcoin people, for the most part, very distrustful of the government. They're into Bitcoin because they hate the central banks. When you hate central banks, it's not too far of a reach to also hate the governments, to be very distrustful of what the governments are saying. I would say that the people that own Bitcoin have a higher distrust of the government. And if you have a higher distrust of the government, there's a better likelihood that you didn't take the shots. So my guess, and it's a guess, is that you'll probably see a disproportionate number of Bitcoin holders not jabbed. And as a result of that, it'll be an opportunity for Bitcoin to step up in this. Crypto in general, but Bitcoin in particular, due to the Bitcoin people love to say, well, we could change the whole monetary system with Bitcoin, and it'd be great if we, you know, if only we could do it. Well, this would be the opportunity to do it. Central banks would have no authority anymore. People would have so little trust in government. They might see this as an opportunity. I think it's something interesting to look at. I'm not saying that it's going to be the thing that comes in and saves everybody, but I think that there would be interest in that simply because a lot of the people that are already interested in that would still be alive and distrustful of the government, even more so than they were to begin with. Let's look at the second component of this. I mentioned economic, social, and strategic. Let's look at the social part. This is going to be a tough one. You have to allow yourself to go to a very dark place. You have to imagine you wake up a couple of years from now and all of this is true. How would you react? How would you react? There would be a complete loss of trust in established institutions. They either allowed this to happen or made it happen. You guys in government protected the pharmaceutical industry from from liability associated with these shots. You did that in 86 with the VAERS, with the vaccine adverse effect, creating the VAERS court, giving them liability protection against lawsuits back in 86. You then created the emergency use authorization in order to ram these untested, unproven gene therapies through to make them eligible for, not just eligible, make them mandatory for some lines of work and eligible to be rolled out without the adequate testing. You enabled them. Hell, you allowed them to do this. So there's no trust when you get to this point. There's no trust. There's no trust in government. Shouldn't be now, but even the most dumbed down sheeple people that didn't depopulate themselves with the shots, if they're still alive in poor health because of it, even they will figure it out. It will be obvious what happened. Just like Spars predicted, it becomes obvious. And then what happened in that document? They ran everybody out of town. The Fauci character, the BZ, the fake rapper guy, the heads of the CDC were all fired. The American government was sued. Then the government said, well, you can't sue us. We're going to create this fund. You can sue that fund instead. So everybody sued that fund and drained it of all the money. And then they had to put more money into that fund because so many lawsuits were happening. You know what I just read? That the American government has set up a fund for vaccine damages. What a fucking surprise. Right on schedule. It's coming. Lawsuits clog up what's left of the court system. Good luck with that. It's a catastrophe, you know what I mean? We get vigilante justice. I mean, look, there's no fun part of this. There's a lot of people that are going to extract some revenge here as politicians, doctors, media personalities, celebrities are dragged from their homes and beaten to death in the streets. If you think that won't happen, you don't understand society. That will most definitely happen. It is a fact of life. You told me that these were safe. You told me that my child would be safe if I injected him with this. You motherfucker. You told me everything was going to be fine and you lied to me. Please, please, please. I'll do anything you want. It's too late for that. Would I blame anybody for that? Nope. You guys get what you deserve. in a scenario like this. Scumbag politicians, doctors that lectured you online, told you you were stupid for not understanding this. When it comes out that they were injecting people with things that would rightly kill them and that all the evidence was there and it was being suppressed, indiscriminate murder will be on the table and will be happening left, right, and center. That's what I say. Society is going to break down from this. Religious organizations that push the shot will be abandoned and more than likely literally burned to the ground. You wouldn't let me see my mom. My mom was in this hospital dying. You wouldn't let me see her. You told me I had to be injected unless I could, you know, with this vaccine, it's the only way I could do it. And I did that, you know, it's like these scenarios where people are going to like replay everything. Wait a sec. They're just going to go back and they're going to say, you knew all along. You did this to me, you motherfucker. You guys all did that to me. Well, I didn't do, I'm going to burn this hospital to the ground. You know what I mean? Like, that's where this will go. And I hate to get darker. I mean, it's already dark, let's be honest, but when you get a bunch of people that have nothing to lose and don't understand this new society that they're being forced to live in and don't really even want to be here, and maybe they don't want to exist anymore because their entire family's dead from this shit, you're going to try and control those people? You're going to tell those people, no, please don't drag those doctors out of their homes in the middle of the night and blow their brains out. Don't do that. That would be bad. What are you going to do? You're going to tell that guy? You do what you need to do. That's what's going to happen. Mainstream media killed off all their audience. First, they lied their audience to the point where most of them left. The ones that believed them, the ones that stuck with them, that drank the Kool-Aid, that bought into the fear, we're all going to die, I got to get all these shots and everything. Who told you to do it? The media. In fact, not only did the media tell you to do it, they told you, do not question this. Do not go down those rabbit holes. I've got the articles, like the headlines. Do not go down the rabbit holes. Don't question these doctors. Trust the science. I trusted the science. I trusted you. You told me to trust the science. I trusted the science, and look where it got me. I'm not trusting anybody anymore, ever again, for anything. That's where we go. Everybody will lose somebody. Multiple people in this, and everybody will be pissed. They're going to start wondering why we have an infertility epidemic. Well, it's part of depopulation, of course. Miscarriages from the shots. Bosses that forced employees to take shots are hunted down by armed groups of men for sport. No, really. Now, I don't want this to turn into some vigilante fantasy or anything like that, because I don't want any of this to happen. But let's be honest. If the establishment told you a huge lie like this, and the results of which caused your entire family to die, and you feel like you have nothing left, that is a dangerous person. That's like the plot of like most Liam Neeson movies, right? He goes out looking for justice. I will get you. You took my kid. I will, you know, you go, oh, wow, that's crazy. No, but in reality, in this situation, after going through what you've gone through, as mentally scrambled as people will be at that point, people going, you know, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a nurse. Are you like the nurse that administered all these shots to people in nursing homes and killed them? You that kind of nurse? Let me have a word with you for a second. You know, teachers, almost all gone. They're the most enthusiastic group. I mean, besides Don Lemon. Put it in me. Give me the shot. Put it in me. Homeschooling takes over. Obviously, schools are done. You know that this is kind of, maybe if we're going to find some humor in this, you know, the memes that you've seen that it's like unvaxxed sperm is the new Bitcoin. In this scenario, it actually is. Unvaccinated sperm is the new Bitcoin. Maybe not, you know, unvaccinated sperm has unbelievable value is the point of that, because you don't have these mRNA technologies running through your body. If you're even still alive from them, you're pure blood. And if you want to repopulate after 70% of the population is gone, you're going to need pure blood sperm. So, you know, I mean, it comes out kind of funny when you say it like that, but the reality is that there will be no value for people that are injected with this. You guys are transhuman at this point. You're no longer human. If you've been injected with mRNA technology, you are one deviation away from being a human being. You're no longer a pure human being. Social media probably won't even exist. At least it can't keep the empire's lies going any longer. Not with this. Massive despair. People fall apart mentally. Trauma, zombies, anger, revenge. All of these things start to go become very real in this awful scenario. People begin to decentralize. They pull away from government. Remember, there's a lot of dead cops that were forced to get the jab. They're going to turn up dead because of this. So you've got resentment from the people that forced them to get the jab in the first place. You've got the fact that nobody wants to be a cop anymore. You've got no cops. You've got lawlessness, right? And remember, look, they talk openly about depopulation. So this isn't some like unbelievable, completely unrealistic scenario. Keep in mind, the people that are in positions of power, they want this to happen. Maybe not all the chaos, because that makes things a little bit more difficult. But 70% fewer people, and 77% fewer in the UK, 68% fewer in the US. Yeah, they want all this. They're not worried about Africa. They're not worried about Papua New Guinea. I don't give a fuck about them. All the countries that are on this list are Western countries. Well, I shouldn't say all of them. I mean, it's just Japan. But in this Deagle document, you know, your USA, Germany, Israel, France, Spain, Australia, Italy, Canada, Norway, Ireland, Lithuania, Western connected countries where you're seeing massive depopulation. These would be the countries that would put up a fight against the one world government. So they want this to happen. Third thing, I mentioned economic, social, and strategic. And once again, I want to reiterate this. This is not meant to be an exhaustive list. There's going to be a whole lot more stuff happening. This is just my list. And it can be added to, and it will be added to. But let's talk about it from a strategic standpoint. Again, taking the emotion out of it, what does this mean when you wake up a couple years from now and 2 out of every 3 people in the United States are gone and 7 out of every 9 people in the UK are gone? What does that do? Well, I'll tell you what it does. The United States has been acting like a bunch of motherfuckers in regard to their foreign policy for a long time. And you know what? It's payback. The military will be on heightened alert. That is what's left of the military. If the woke bullshit and the 18 different genders and the fact that they got rid of boot camp and lowered the entrance examination process for new recruits, and they don't make you do the fitness test, they reduce the thresholds and benchmarks in the fitness test because too many people couldn't pass it, and they got rid of the banging of the trash can in the morning, wake up, you fucking maggots, it's 4 a.m., get on your feet, all that stuff that happens the first week of boot camp in the military, they've taken that out. They've already taken that out because there are too many people that needed a safe space after that. So we have a weak, woke wreck of a military right now that's being formulated, where they've forced all the jabs on people. Like I said, the military retention, vaccination rate was in the lower of the industries, but it was still at like 60 something percent. You know, I mean, it was still relatively high. I mean, it's not what do we have it at? Military 62%. Yeah. So still a lot of people getting it. Back to China. We've got 90 something percent of China vaccinated with at least 2 shots, right? But we have 0% with the booster. Now, in this scenario, if we're saying boosters are the real problem, then, we're going to have, Deagle, based on Deagle's number, Deagle's basically saying the shots in general, 1, 2, 3, 4, doesn't matter. Their numbers are basically mirroring like a Dr. Robert Malone. If you've taken 1 shot, you might as well have taken 4. It doesn't matter. You're done. We are kind of talking about, well, let's maybe not totally off Deagle. Let's try and make it less awful and say that it's just the the boosters that really get you. Well, so in that scenario, if it's just the boosters that really get you, then you're going to start, you're not going to have 70% of America go away. You're going to have like 30% of America go away. But that's a lot of people, man. That's still like 100 million people. It works out to about a third of the population. That's a catastrophe. So let's talk about strategic, though. China would have the perfect opportunity to invade the United States, but they wouldn't have to be fair. They could just, they could finish us off with an embargo. They could just refuse to ship anything. Clearly, they wouldn't be buying our treasury notes as they do. The US dollar would be maybe not even existent at this point. They economically, they could finish us off and probably would. All American military bases would need to be closed and everything would need to be brought back home immediately. The current military, I'm talking about like the woke military, the current military is predicting to fall 40,000 troops short of their goal for recruiting. I just read that this morning. So they're already having a hard time filling positions with people that actually want to sign up for the military. And, you know, they took a lot of shots. And the pilots took a lot of shots. And those pilots become, when they retire, a lot of them become commercial airline pilots that took a lot of shots. Commercial airlines, where are you going to get your pilots from? You get them from the military. There's no, the military guys injected, all, you know, they're all injected. This would be an open opportunity. And one that I have said, you know, people have asked me like, what's your theoretical line in the sand? Like, are you going to stay and fight Red Dawn style? I'm like, I don't think I would want to necessarily. What's your line in the sand? Well, I've always said my line in the sand is when the United Nations blue helmets show up on American soil to start conducting, you know, to start getting involved in policing, I'm out of here. So I think that a United Nations blue helmet invitation, which would essentially be an invasion disguised as an invitation to come in. We need you. We need you to help restore order here in America. Things are out of control. We've called the UN in. We've invited the UN in for an invasion. You know, you go, oh, well, the UN troops and the police, clearly, I mean, surely they're gone too, right? Nope. I went and looked. I specifically went and looked through the United Nations rules and regulations for their troops and police to see if the vaccine was mandatory. It was not. The vaccine for the United Nations troops and police was optional. Of course, because they know what's going on. They're the ones at the top of this chart making things happen. Petrodollar deal falls apart. Can't justify it from the Saudi side. There's 70% less people in America, anywhere from 30% in our scenario, our nice scenario, to 70% according to Deagle. There's no demand. Why would Saudi Arabia have that arrangement with America? We were providing the military to cover them so they could, you know, wouldn't get attacked in the Middle East, and they agreed to sell their oil in US dollars. That arrangement would go away. There'd be no reason for the Saudis to even follow that. The World Economic Forum would make their move to lock everyone up in their digital prison. But I'll tell you what, they would have a hard time because the people that were left would rightly be pushing back against that. I think that anyone that supported the World Economic Forum's Build Back Better plan and the injections and transhumanism and all that would have a wake-up call as they see that everybody's dead. You know, just massive numbers of unexplained deaths. I mean, at some point you figure it out. Funeral home directors are already reporting that the clots are showing up everywhere. This is, so again, this is me speculating, and we're doing this whole song and dance about this speculation. But the reality is that you've got funeral home directors pulling massive clots out of people. They're saying that normally when they embalm a body with formaldehyde, they inject in one spot and they pump the embalming fluid in that one spot. It goes throughout the whole body and it gives you a color to yourself that makes you look less gray. Doesn't work that well. Dead bodies all still look not real. Hopefully you guys don't have to see that, but a lot of us have. the funeral directors are saying, we can't put it in just in one spot anymore because it doesn't get all the way through because the clog, there's so many blood clots in these people that we now have to inject them in like four or five different spots, twice in the legs, twice in the, you know, in the armpits, once in the neck, you know, all that what normally took one shot where they would just, you know, push the fluid through and it would go circulate throughout the whole body and get everywhere it needed to go. They're now having to inject in multiple places because the blood clots are preventing the circulation of this. That's happening now, today. That's not in this fictional scenario. That's today. Insurance companies are reporting a 40% spike in death already. A 1 in 200 year event. That's happening today. That's not in the future. That's now. So this could happen. I go back to this short term, medium term, and long term with regard to the vaccine. I want to read you the long term again, because what we're talking about here in this is long term. This in long term being 1 year to 10 years after you've taken the shot. Spike protein induced chromosomal damage, cancers. You don't have to die. Not everybody has to die from COVID vaccines in this scenario, in Deagle's scenario. They never said it was from the vaccines. They just said the people were dead. What are they dead from? Well, according to the long term, spike protein induced chromosomal damage, cancers, severe immunodeficiencies, suppressed DNA repair, fatal autoimmune disorders, and obviously infertility, which we're already seeing. Look, I told you it was going to be a dark episode. Okay. And I take no pleasure in talking about this in some sort of, oh, let's just jump right into this. This will be fun. It's not fun. There's nothing about this is fun. We're talking about the deaths of billions of people from something that's totally preventable that those motherfuckers are planning for us. Let's see how it all turns out, right? Look, if you thought this episode was one you wanted to share with your friends and family, please take the additional step right now of sharing it, because it's a thought experiment that some of us are going to want to go through. I think a lot of people probably will not want to think about this, but it's very real. It's a real possibility, and we do not benefit by pretending that this isn't here. The best way for us to deal with this is to acknowledge it, dig up the numbers that we can find, face this head on, and plan accordingly. If you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter @macroaggressions. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.